feel like I'm in district court all by myself. But as you can see, thank you, our, my colleagues, given the kind of internal that we had set this in Las Vegas, my colleagues had some unavoidable conflicts. They are down appearing in Las Vegas on the video. And so thank you all for being here. Are council ready to get started?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, excellent. excuse me. Is it Mr. Lipkow? Is that how you say?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, excellent, sir. Would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
I believe so, yes, ma'am.
How much would you like to reserve?
3 minutes.
You got it. All right, whenever you're ready to proceed.
For the record, my name is Ross DeLipko. I'm here with co-counsel Mr. Jared Miller. This case is centered around and is based upon the infringement of water rights. As we know, a water right is a real property and interest and cannot be infringed upon. The specific factual and legal error made by the court was the granting of only one source of water to a point where it would not irrigate appellant's real property. The court noted there would be a problem by saying may create an inconvenience. An inconvenience is not the destruction of a water right of major proportions. It should be noted that respondent appealed the judicial court amended judgment and order only as to the rotation schedule. As we know, and I've said earlier, a water right is an interest in real property. The property right with which we're here discussed is a portion of claim number 606 of the Carson River decree. The property in question is shown here. It is not our illustrative exhibit, but I would definitely, by way of impairment of water rights, review the court to Respondents Volume 1, Exhibits 001 and 002. A review of those two exhibits would show the historic irrigation practice, which irrigates the appellant's southwest portion of the property and going north thereon.
Counsel, let me ask you a question. What do we do with the district court's credibility determination in that it didn't find credible or convincing evidence of the alleged historical flow? What do we do with that?
What do we do with that? We look at the maps supporting the position that water flowed to the southwest corner and the court, pardon me, to the southeast corner and to the southwest corner, and the court made an error in fact in not reviewing the exhibits.
Did the court have these exhibits?
Absolutely.
But the court also took testimony as well.
We certainly did. That was basically our entire case, getting water to the southwest corner of appellant's real property. And what happened, respondent came in, eradicated the historic irrigation ditches, put a ditch in part along the easterly boundary running north-south. It was not open for 140 feet. So prior to the action, which was filed September of 2019, virtually no water would get to appellant's real property. That's what commenced this action. Now, that exhibit plus the joint exhibit 16 is the site grading plan submitted by respondent, which shows the course of the water going to the west. In other words, water flowed northwesterly across the property of respondent, thereupon was served on the property of appellant. Okay, now appellant's water rights were starting by the filing of an application to change Volume 3, pages 616 through 22. That was filed by Mr. Lyson, the original developer. The application is 67473. Mr. Lyson thereupon filed a proof of beneficial use, found in volume 3, page 627 to 630. A proof of beneficial use is a required document to be filed in the state engineer's office, and it embodies the final water right. It is signed under oath. Thereafter, the state engineer sent two of his engineers to inspect the land that was placed to a beneficial use. They approved the proof of beneficial use, saying that 37.82 acres of appellant's 40 acres was duly irrigated. That's volume 3, 627 through 630. Thereafter, the state engineer granted certificate 19537, which embodies the final water right. Again, 37.82 acres of appellant's 40 acres have perfected water rights on them. The source of that document is volume 3, pages 631 through 633. No party questions the validity of the water rights involved in this action. Both water rights are equal in priority. I'll say it again. They're equal in priority. The water for appellants is not tail, runoff, or waste. Judge Bruce Thompson, in his final decree, stated, "This, I quote, this decree therefore does not differentiate between water-righted land irrigated by direct diversions and water-righted land irrigated from return flows. The return flow method should be encouraged as it appears to be more economical and practical method of water distribution than hundreds of small direct diversion ditches." That means the water rights of appellant and respondent are precisely equal. Prior to this action being filed, which was in 1919, respondent eradicated and removed the irrigation ditches. He dug a large pit for fill for the driveway to his home and in support of his total facilities. The result prior to this action, as previously stated, was no claim 606 water reached the appellant's property. We are well aware of the Supreme Court cases, Ormsby County versus Kearney, 17 Nevada 314, application of Filippini, 66 Nevada 17, and Anderson Family Associates versus Ritchie, 124-182-208. Those cases stand for the proposition that a water right cannot be impaired. The result of the judge's amended judgment and order is only a small fraction of the 37.82 acres can be irrigated from the single source allocated by the court.
Mr. Lipkow, I'm struggling a little bit with what we do with the court's findings related to the historical flow. It was the Georgia's obligation to prove that up.
Right.
The court found that they didn't.
Your Honor, there are three cases which state that a factual error can be overturned or corrected by the appellant courts. Two of them involve water rights. One is Revert versus Ray, 95 Nevada 782. And the other is Salmon River Canal versus Bell Brand Ranches. That's 564 P. 2nd, 124, 1244 Ninth Circuit. Both of those water right cases involve situations where the appellate court, one case the Nevada Supreme Court, the other the Ninth Circuit, corrected or amended a factual determination made by the district court. It is so obvious that if all the water allocated by the district court is to reach basically the southeast corner of appellant's property. Water will not flow uphill to irrigate the west side of that property. It's as simple as that. That point, I believe, was brought up many, many times during the court before Judge Young.
So, Mr. Lipkow, I think I understand your position on that. Could you please address the necessary party argument? The necessary parties, whether the necessary
That has to do with rotation. As previously stated, the only issue was rotation. I will inform the court that there are no written rotations on either the east or the west fork of the Carson River. I recommended during closing arguments before Judge Young that the two parties should enter into a water sharing agreement, which I prepared in several draft forms. I can assure you that my client has no complaints whatsoever with the upstream water users on the Park and Bull Ditch under the certificated permit. There are only several, one or two. The Park and Bull Ditch runs basically east to west, south of respondent's property, and crosses Big Ditch, the drain ditch, and is utilized by about six more individuals. What the six individuals past the point of diversion do is of absolutely no concern, because once water leaves your head gate, it's gone forever. The party upstream, or parties upstream, two of them under the permit, we have no objection for that. I further believe that the only way a rotation schedule of all water users could be obtained was through the federal court system. Under the Thompson decree, we would have to file a motion or a petition with the council for the water master. He would either reject it or accept it. If he rejected it, it would take a federal court action, I believe, naming all parties to the rotation schedule. Very likely the judge would say, there's no problem, I'm not going to give you a rotation schedule. Again, the only problem is between the two parties.
All right, thank you, sir. Colleagues, as Mr. Lipkow reaches his rebuttal time, do you have any questions for him at this point?
Do I have any?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, so you wanted to reserve 3 minutes?
Yes.
You got about three minutes and 30 seconds. Would you like to reserve
okay.
the balance of this?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, excellent, sir. Thank you. Mr. Pintar.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning.
It's good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Can everybody see that?
Well, I certainly
we
can.
Cannot see it in Las Vegas, but I believe it was attached as an exhibit.
And is this an exhibit or is this a demonstration?
What is the page number for it? Because we may have it at hand.
I don't know the page number. It's mostly just for demonstrative. It's a Google map of the property.
Okay.
Yeah, the camera's adjusted. We're good.
Okay.
Thank you. With the exception of the rotation schedule, The court's amended findings of fact and conclusions of law should be affirmed. At trial, the evidence revealed that the fundamental premise of the plaintiff's argument was not true, that the George property was not historically irrigated through the Winkler's property. For reference here, what I'd like to do is just kind of explain this to the court. And so what we see here is a Google map. Here in the middle is the Winkler property. Up here is the George property. Traversing east to west is what's known as the Park and Bull Ditch. This is the ditch in which the water is irrigated from. On the western side of both properties is what's called the Big Ditch, and that's right here. So the Big Ditch, neither property reserves gets water from the Big Ditch. It's for further downstream users, okay? On the eastern side of the properties, you have Eagle Meadows Lane. So here's Artemisia, which comes off the Douglas County Road there, and then it goes down to Artemisia, and then it goes up to Eagle Meadows Lane. So you got the properties are found on the east side by Eagle Meadows Lane. The evidence at trial showed that, in effect, the George's property is watered via two ditches off of the Park and Bull. First of all, you have this ditch, which starts on the east side of Eagle Meadows, and this is what referred to in the brief as the Kent's property. So the Kent's property is going to be on the east side. And as you can see here, the ditch goes kind of from in a northwesterly fashion. And that's really the purpose of this map, is to show the court that the water, the natural topography, is in a northwestern direction, not south to north. So anyhow, the first ditch here starts on the Kemp property and then kind of goes into a angle where it goes under Eagle Meadows Lane and goes onto the Winkler's property, and then it goes directly north onto the George property. The issue and the diversion in question is here. It's on the west side of the Eagle Meadows Lane, and this is actually on the Brown property. Thank you. And this is about 15 feet off of the Brown's property. And by this diversion, water is diverted both south onto the Brown's property and north onto the Winkler's property. And that is why we think that the Browns need to be a necessary party to any rotation schedule, because it's coming from here. In addition, we feel that the property owners on the east are also necessary parties, because the water that ultimately gets to the George property traverses their land. So anyhow, as you see here, Mr. Winkler, in developing, did a ditch, and that was to help irrigate his property. And so what the court ordered was that he was to extend this ditch 140 feet so that it combined in with this one. And then both ditches kind of form a reverse Y, if you will, and go up north into Mr. George's property. Now, we feel that the court's decision to have the one single point here at the southeast corner of the George property is supported by substantial evidence, because it was supported by the deputy watermaster, Steve Wilcox, who went out himself, who also brought out a irrigator by the name of Toldy Holder, and by Mr. Watham, the federal watermaster himself, who all concluded that southwest was the single most logical way to irrigate the property. I'll also point out that is the way that Mr. Winkler irrigates his property. So for all those reasons, we feel that the court's underlying judgment is supported by substantial evidence. Now, what the plaintiffs want and what they tried to prove is that there was a separate diversion and they want to do a separate ditch or separate easement on the west side. We strongly opposed that, and there was no evidence of historical use that showed that the water went this way directly from south to north, and so that's why we supported it. I'd like to talk a little bit about the rotation schedule. So first of all, the rotation schedule was not raised in plaintiff's case in chief. The first issue of the rotation schedule came on during my case after they had completed their case in chief, and it was during the cross-examination of Deputy Wilcox. So it's really that issue of damages was not brought before the court. And then, as Mr. Dolipko said, he raised it again in his closing argument, and the judge seemed to adopt it. We have a number of concerns with the rotation schedule, mostly the fact that it is based on acreage alone, and as the watermaster reported, it assumes wrongly that all 40 acres of Mr. George's property can be irrigated by gravity, when in fact, that's not accurate. Since this trial, there's been a survey that has been performed pursuant to the direction of the court, and that survey has showed that 3/4 of the water that irrigates the George property comes from these properties to the east and the southeast. So any rotation schedule has to account for this other water, because otherwise Mr. George is going to get extra water. He's going to get his full 40-acre here, and then in addition, he's going to get a surplus amount from the other properties that are unregulated. And so the purpose of bringing all these parties in is fundamental fairness and rotation. I will also point out this court's prior opinions about due notice. These prior landowners were not notified of this rotation schedule. I mean, the court's prior opinions are pretty clear that when a person's water rights are being affected, they have to have notice, and none of that, and potentially these water rights from the owners to the east, as well as the owners to the south, would be detrimentally affected.
And Mr. Pintar, the survey, the court did not have the survey at the time of trial.
That is correct. That was ordered.
That's not part of the record below.
Correct. So anyhow, unless the other thing I would mention is the Justice Pickering's dissent in the Bentley case, where she recognized, of course, that the rotation schedule needs to be voluntary under NRS 533. Also, the rotation schedule needs to be voluntary. We believe that the court was without jurisdiction to order the rotation schedule because it didn't have jurisdiction over the other necessary parties. And yeah, unless there's any other questions.
Well, I'll ask.
I have a question, Justice Stiglitz.
Certainly.
I'm a bit confused on the status of the finality of the judgment in district court because of what happened post-trial, and there's a single order that addresses contempt as well as the motion to amend or alter. But it isn't clear to me whether there is a final judgment with respect to the rotation schedule and what is going on with that. Could you comment on that?
Sure. And that's,
because that affects our jurisdiction.
There actually is no finality, and that's, again, one of the problems here. So what the court ordered initially was that the rotation schedule was to be based on acreage. Then when we got together with the water master and they did the survey, then we did a motion to amend. The court changed it and said that basically we were to defer to the water master. So that is still being negotiated, if you will. And so there has been no finality. And that is exactly one of the problems here because, again, if you're going to be final, which is going to run with the land, I think the other landowners nearby need to be included and part of the process.
Okay, so this is not to a state where we could ask for an indicative ruling by the district court and remand under NRAP 12A for that because it hasn't been finalized?
Correct. In my view, it would need to be remanded back to the district court to the extent that this court allows it to even consider the rotation schedule, and that would need to be discussed there.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Proceed.
Okay, thank you.
Still have 5 minutes. It's up to you.
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pintar. Mr. Lipkow.
Thank you. I, too, am asking for a remand. The remand is required, is to require the expense at their effort to build a system, irrigation system, across their rural property, which is adequate to serve the western side of the George property. To be very candid with the court, that system is already in existence. It's got to be improved and maintained. It's not a big deal to get water flowing west across the Winkler property and then north to the Tobin property. That is what I'm requesting. By way of rebuttal, we must keep in mind there are 37.82 acres worth of water. the judgment in order allows only approximately 10 acres to be irrigated. Water coming from the east off the Kent property, for the most part, is waste or drain or excess. It has been available generally after the first irrigation of each year when there's lots of water. That'd be the first week or two in April of any given year. That water, again, is downhill of where it's got to go. You can put all the water you want at the low point. It does not get to the high point. The high point is on the east, the westerly side of the Winkler property. The rotation schedule is no big deal. We could prepare one for as many people as we wanted, but it's all based on custom and usage. And what they've done upstream, the one or two users on the parking bowl is fine. What they've done downstream of the one diversion at the southeast corner of the Winkler property is regulated by the water master. All he has is two people who are unhappy. We are unhappy. The court made it quite, district court made it quite happy that, pardon me, quite clear that the parties do not get along. What is concerning to me is the only issue raised or complained about by respondents is the rotation schedule. Pursuant to the court order, they did not take part in the survey as ordered by the court. They would not allow our surveyor to put a plastic monument for survey purposes. They did not split the costs. There has been no access by the Georges on their property to clean the ditch. In the entire time the parties have been neighbors, the Georges have been on the property twice. Once before the house was built, he went over to talk to the contractor, and the second time was when Mr. and Mrs. George walked up the ditch a week or so after the judgment was rendered. Water does in fact flow across the western side of the Winkler property if the existing ditch referred to as the north lateral is used. I'm out of time. I thank you very much. I would like this court to remand it as previously requested. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, gentlemen, for your arguments. This matter will stand submitted. We're going to stay in place while we reconstitute for the